And welcome to Chris Ann Hall Show. I am your host, constitutional attorney Chris Ann Hall, and it is a pleasure to be here with you today. So very excited to bring you this news from a constitutional perspective. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. This is going to be a great show today. This is going to be one of my favorites. I can see Christian. Hey, everybody, say hi to Christian. I can see already that this is going to be one of my favorites. This show today is about a most current event. Remember, we're a teach show, not a talk show. Now, I do get a little passionate, do get a little excited, but we're going to talk about something that does make me rather passionate altogether. Before we get into the main story today, I'll give you a little hint. It's about Eric Swalwell. Come on, guys, if you're watching this, you have to know that I'm going to chime in on this tit for tat that's going on with Swalwell and my governor, Ron DeSantis. But before we get into that, I want to share with you a post that I did on Instagram. That's a teach post again. Christian, I did it at like 1 o'clock this morning. Yeah, I was having trouble sleeping. Anyway, so I'm getting inundated with this particular question. And it goes something like this. Chris Ann, where do the feds get the authority to forgive student loans? And I started thinking, what's the best way to answer that question? And I decided the best way to answer that question is with a question. Okay, the question is, where do the feds get the authority to forgive student loans? My answer, show me where the feds get the authority to give student loans. Because when you find that you'll now find the answer to your question about where they get to forgive them. You see, the answer is they don't have the authority. Well, how do they have the authority? They made it up. Well, how are they allowed to make it up? Because we allow them to make it up. We allow them, we give them permission through our silence, through our consent. I put in this post, and I'm just going to read it to you because I think it's best if I just read it to you. I said, it's interesting that throughout all of history, and I've studied over 1,000 years of it, government power grows the fastest and the greatest through the mechanism of government generosity. You know, when the king's handing out free stuff? This mechanism always operates by unjustly enriching some at the expense of others. It's also interesting to note that people don't generally get upset about this mechanism of government overgrowth when it benefits them. People throughout history tend to only get upset by government overgrowth or government growth that unjustly enriches others at their expense. How much simpler and juster government would be if we just understood that government doesn't lawfully possess an authority to be generous to anyone. Government doesn't earn its own money. Government must take money to have money. Taking money from one person to give to another is always theft. I just want to pause there. Let that sink in. Regardless of who's doing the taking, even when it benefits you personally. For the government to take and give money, the people must authorize those in government the power to steal at will. This is the greatest expansion of government power possible on this earth. The authority to take from others, whatever, whenever, however you want, for whatever reason you want. Government generosity is sinful and tyrannical. We must refuse all government generosity. We must stop all legalized plunder, even when it benefits us personally. So when I say all of this, people, I say, well, who's going to stop it? You're going to stop it. You're going to teach your neighbors, your kids, your friends, your family members that this is legalized plunder and it's wrong, and they have to stop it. Because you see, controlling the overgrowth of government always starts with us. That's our lead-in lesson for today. But now I want to get to the main story. The main story today has to do with separation of church and state. And this dialogue between, I don't even know if it's a dialogue anymore. It's more like Swalwell screaming into a vacuum. But here's the question of the day. Is separation of church and state in the Constitution? Well, not the way Swalwell defines it. When Thomas Jefferson used that phrase, wall of separation between church and state, he actually meant hands off to the government. It would, in fact, be directed at people just like Swalwell, who intend to establish a state religion of anti-religion. Swalwell wants to wield the power of government to silence people who understand what our founders undeniably asserted, that our liberty of conscience is a direct gift from God. James Madison called it our most dearest possession. We, in fact, have an inherent right to believe or not to believe. And tyrants and ignoramuses like Swalwell are not invested with the authority to force us or to use the force of government to make that decision for us. That's what this show is all about. A teach show to explain to us exactly where separation of church and state comes from. So let's go, Christian, to that article. It is a Fox News article, and the title is Eric Swalwell Blasted for Suggesting Separation of Church and State is in the Bill of Rights. And then the headline says, quote, you dope. Now, I want to be very clear about something, because there's a great deal of misconception happening around this phrase, separation of church and state. So I'm going to say something that might rub some conservatives the wrong way, might go contrary to what you're hearing being told from the talking heads and even the ones that are lawyers or politicians. Separation of church and state is in the Constitution, just not the way Swalwell says it is. Separation of church and state is the essential underlying principle that creates our understanding of what the First Amendment is all about. The First Amendment is all about freedom of conscience, freedom of thought. You see, without freedom of thought, without freedom of conscience, then you have no freedom of religion. Without freedom of thought, without freedom of conscience, you have no freedom of speech, no freedom of press. You have no right to peaceably assemble and no right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. All of these rights inherently exist in this package of freedom of conscience. It's why James Madison wrote in his essay Property that conscience is our most dear property. It's why we have to understand that to speak correctly, to think correctly, we must understand you don't have a First Amendment right. You have a right to freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, the right to peaceably assemble, the right to petition the government for a redress of grievance. These rights do not emanate from the First Amendment. They are not First Amendment rights. They are natural rights that are derivatives from the right of freedom of conscience, the right to believe or not to believe. And for the right of freedom of conscience to exist, government must stay out of your head. What does that mean? That means government's got no business telling your church what it can and cannot do. Telling your church when they can have church, how many people they can have church. Government's got no business telling people what it's lawful to believe or not to believe. Dictating to the people through the force of government what is truth. The underlying existence of truth is dependent upon what we call the free marketplace of ideas. The ability for us to compare ideas, words and thoughts and principles to each other. So we may discern lies from truth. Pretty much the antithetical principle behind social media today, right? We're going to censor you. We're going to kick you off because you're saying something we don't agree with. You see, separation of church and state says that government is not supposed to be in the religion business. And as I mentioned in the opening statement, the problem here is just simply this. Swalwell wants to create an American religion called anti-religion. And he wants to silence you for what you believe. And just by the fact that Ron DeSantis says, and this is part of the article, he says, the purpose of our school system should be to educate our kids, not to indoctrinate our kids. We're going to teach real history. We're going to teach them truth. They need to understand that our rights come from God, not from government. And then Swalwell, in his education into ignorance, right, because he is a lawyer, and I will do preface all of this with the understanding that, hey, guess what? Lawyers are taught the lies that Swalwell is repeating, okay? He is only teaching what the law schools are teaching. We have an errant and ignorant education in law school when it comes to separation of church and state. It's based on a precedent established by a court opinion in which the judges act like Thomas Jefferson just coined this statement. He just made it up as he was going along. Just out of the blue, Jefferson's like, separation of church and state, a wall of separation from church and state. No. Jefferson was preaching and teaching about centuries-old principle that government has no business in your church. Unfortunately, now, for our current and upcoming generations, our schools have been teaching what Swalwell is preaching, that separation of church and state means that God has no business in public conversation. Notice that Ron DeSantis did not mention church. Notice that Ron DeSantis did not mention religion. I'll just repeat it to you so you can understand what he says. The purpose of our school system should be to educate our kids, not to indoctrinate our kids. We're going to teach real history. We're going to teach them truth. They need to understand our rights come from God and not from government. And then Swalwell hops up and talks about, well, it's not like separation of church and state is in the Bill of Rights or anything. Snark. Really? It was Swalwell that injected the church into this conversation. Why? Because Swalwell and a majority of the American population have been taught to believe that public officials can't even mention God. Oh my goodness! Ron DeSantis said the word God, and he's a governor. Separation of church and state! Separation of church and state! You are too stupid to breathe when you think things like that. It's phenomenal, the level of incompetent thinking that has to exist to react like that. And it just simply isn't true in any way, shape, or form. Separation of church and state is a no to government. It's not a constraint on the mouth of the people. Separation of church and state has always meant and has been in writing for nearly 1900 years that government has no business influencing the church. It's only been since our most recent bout of education into ignorance that we as Americans have accepted this Swalwell lie that separation of church and state means that God has no business in public discussion. And now you get into this whole thing where conservatives and Christians adopt the argument, adopting the errant narrative to respond to the errant narrative. Seriously, you can't defeat a lie by repeating a lie, people. Can we just get that out there and set this straight? You can't defeat a lie by repeating a lie. No, the words separation of church and state are not in the Constitution. But without the principles under the true meaning of separation of church and state, you really have no liberty at all. So you have Ellen Carmichael. We have that picture up, right, Christian? Ellen Carmichael says the origin of rights, God, nature, not government, isn't a religious notion, you dope. Well, thank you, Ellen, for pointing out what should be kept and obvious to the American people, but is not, because we've been educated into ignorance for over 150 years. I want to give you a very brief understanding of how this works. This is actually a conversation that I had, oh my goodness, Christian, I'm trying to remember, probably 5 or 6 years ago, maybe not that long. How many of you lose track of time as the pace of government growth gets out of control? When you live in my world, I have no idea. The last 3 years feel like the last 3 months. So my time, give me a break on that. But I had this conversation, it has to be over 2 years ago because I've been kicked off Twitter for 2 years. And this was a Twitter conversation that I had with Chris Cuomo. This knowledge, this truth that your rights do not come from government. And that's why I just simply, as a side note, want to say, You have to remember something. When you say constitutional rights, when you say First Amendment right, when you say Second Amendment right, when you say Fourth Amendment rights, what you're really saying is those rights come from documents. But that can't be so. You see, if rights come from documents, if they come from government, you must understand the inherent authority to give, within that authority to give exists an inherent authority to take. So if a document gives a right, then that document can also take it away. If a government gives you a right, then government can also take it away. It's why our Declaration of Independence says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And I really do love the wisdom in the use of that word creator, because it really doesn't matter in the big scheme of things, in the liberty scheme of things. Now, in the eternal scheme of things, it matters. But in the liberty scheme of things, it really doesn't matter who you call your creator. But you must believe that your rights come from a higher power that is not government. Because the power to give inherently contains the power to take. So your creator has to give you rights for them to be inalienable, which means they can't be separated from you except by your creator. Now, I realize this opens this can of worms, right, of this whole idea of are rights unlimited and can rights be restrained? Let's just put that aside. It's a whole different discussion. I mean, that's like calculus level stuff. We're just dealing with second grade right here, which is what's even more stunning. That people like Swalwell, they haven't even graduated from second grade when it comes to constitutional understanding. I realize he's a lawyer, but that doesn't mean anything. Lawyers and judges are some of the most constitutionally ignorant people I know, because they're arrogant about their ignorance. So I just want to help you. I want to help you. I want to help you have the facts. I can't help them. Swalwell's not going to receive what I have. Swalwell doesn't want truth. His cognitive dissonance won't allow him to even entertain the truth at this level. It's not happening, guys. And I'm really sad to say, I can guarantee you right now, there's some people in the chat rooms listening and watching who consider themselves to be conservatives, who consider themselves to be Christians, who are arguing with me right now. I can't help you. If your cognitive dissonance is so strong that you're unwilling to surrender the comfort you find in that trained ignorance, I can't help you, but I want to help those who are willing to be helped. Those who have ears, let them hear. So let me bring to you some deeper truth after we go to this break. Now, I do want to mention to you, everything that I'm teaching you is available at libertyfirstsociety.com in depth. Not only just these truths, but if you're a member at libertyfirstsociety.com, you get free printed PDF booklets that go with all these classes. You can even administer tests in many of our classes. We're developing more tests as we go along. All of these things are available to you. Learn at your own pace. Christian's going to show you a video that will teach you, that will show you a little bit more about libertyfirstsociety.com and how to get signed up today. Go ahead, Christian.
One thing to realize, there's something that needs to be done. But there's a whole nother thing in knowing what it takes to stand. You've got to count the cost. The only way you can do that is if you are filled with truth and filled with courage. Samuel Adams said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberties nor be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved." He said, "But on the contrary, when the people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders." It's got to be bigger than you. It's got to be bigger than now. It's got to be about our future. You cannot lose your liberty and stay who you are, because God wove that into your spirit and made you free.
If you want to understand separation of church and state in its depth, in its context, and understand exactly what I'm telling you, that separation of church and state, unlike what you read in this Fox News article, is not the product of the Establishment Clause. It's the purpose of the Establishment Clause. Separation of church and state is a principle that created the Establishment Clause. I mean, you can't get any more basic than that. Without separation of church and state, there is no freedom of religion. Without separation of church and state, there is no freedom of thought. Without freedom of thought, there is no freedom of speech. There is no freedom of press. And then the government dictates everything to you. So it's the fact that what we have in the mindset of the American population, that somehow rights come from men and come from government, is why I think we tolerate too much government. On a certain level, even those who actually believe that rights are inalienable, that they come from God in America today, really don't accept the magnitude of what that means. Because I believe if we did, the governments that we live under would absolutely not be possible. I teach a class called The Great Debate at libertyfirstsociety.com that explains the whole purpose and principle of the Bill of Rights. I mean, that's what we're talking about here, the Bill of Rights. And even the purpose and the principle of the Bill of Rights is completely lost in our miseducation system. That's why Liberty First Society is so important, because you're just simply not getting this anywhere. Conservative attorneys are not getting this because they're not being taught this. They're being taught the opposite in law school. Listen to me. If you want job security as an attorney, if you want job security as a judge, you better believe that the Constitution is the source of your rights. Whether you parrot that or not, you believe it. And that's what it all boils down to. I want to show you by way of example, Swalwell, who is an attorney, a Democrat attorney, but there's conservative attorneys in this Fox News article that are missing the most important finer points of this. Swalwell says, Christian, put up the one where he says, "The meltdown happening on the right over this is both predictable and also hilarious. Let's keep it going, shall we?" Now, the first problem is this whole identity politics, that this is right or left, that somehow the belief that rights come from our creator is a right-wing thought. and that rights come from government is a left-wing thought. And I think that might be a pretty good classification, not because they're right, they're left, but because of the ideologies that are held by these people. Left-leaning people believe that government is their creator, their provider, their protector. That big government is what we need to make us happy, to provide for us the things that we should have. We don't need the freedom to do it on our own. We can have government do it for us. In reality, when you think about it, the leftist ideology is really a kingdom ideology. Leftist ideology crying for the return of the monarchy of America. What we ascribe to the right side is simply an individual liberty understanding that government's purpose is not to give rights, but to secure rights. And what I want to do is this picture that I have up here, the meltdown happening on the right over this is both predictable and also hilarious. Let's keep it going, shall we? And he puts up a screenshot of the Cornell Law School separation of church and state definition. As if the law schools teach truth about these principles. He's going to bolster his perspective, his errant perspective, by bringing up what he thinks is a credible source. I mean, Cornell is one of the worst sources when it comes to actually understanding the truth about the Constitution. He could not have found a worse law school source on this. I mean, Cornell's even worse than Harvard, guys. At least Yale and Chicago School of Law actually incorporate the founders' teachings in their writings in their teaching online. Now, they don't do it in the classroom, but online they do. So Cornell says, separation of church and state is a phrase that refers to the establishment clause of the First Amendment. No, it doesn't. It's the separation of church and state wrote the establishment clause. Establishment clause did not write separation of church and state. Jefferson, this phrase dates back to the early days of U.S. history when Thomas Jefferson referred to the First Amendment as creating a wall of separation between church and state as the third president of the United States. No, that is absolutely not true. Separation, the concept and the understanding of separation of church and state does not date back to the days of early U.S. history in the way that they mention it. It dates back to the ages of early British history. For example, in the year 1100, a king named Henry I signed a promise to the people called the 1100 Charter of Liberties that declared separation of church and state as a principal right of the people. He didn't use the word separation of church and state. No, he said, the Holy Church of God shall be free. Free from what? Free from government intrusion. Can I mention to you that this idea of Cornell University being the authority on what the Constitution said is so ideologically stupid? I can, let me just show you an example. So I'm putting up here now a picture of Cornell University's definition of the Supremacy Clause. You have that one, Christian? All right. Article 6, paragraph 2, they say. That's not even the correct reference. It's actually Article 6, clause 2. You would think that if you were a law school, you would know the proper reference for portions of the Constitution. They don't even get that right. Article 6, paragraph 2 of the U.S. Constitution is commonly referred to as the Supremacy Clause. It's Article 6, clause 2, but it's not, and it is called the Supremacy Clause, but here's where they go wrong. It establishes that the federal constitution and federal law generally, what does that mean? More commonly than not, It would take an exception to the rule to be different. It establishes the federal constitution and federal law generally, unless specific exceptions, take precedent over state laws and even state constitutions. That is not true. All you have to do is pull up the supremacy clause and you will see exactly what I'm talking about. Christian also conveniently has a picture of the supremacy clause. Notice, it's not called the supremacy paragraph. It's called the supremacy clause. It is referred to as Article 6, Clause 2. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, shall be the supreme law of the land. You see, generally, state constitution and state laws are superior to federal laws and federal constitution. The exception being, according to Article 6, Clause 2, when the laws are made consistent with the constitution. There is only one condition in which laws, rules, EOs, mandates by the federal government are superior to state laws and state constitution, and that's when they are made consistent with the constitution. Only then. Every other circumstance, state laws, state constitutions are superior to federal laws. You see how they got it all switched backwards? How ridiculous this whole thing is. Do not trust Cornell University Law School for your definition of constitutional principles. They don't get it right. I have found no section of this whole little Cornell constitutional explanation that has ever gotten the Constitution and its application correct. And I guarantee you, he chose that on purpose because it was the platform that agreed and verified his ignorance. So I hope that I've helped you understand this today. And so let me wrap this up as we end today's show. Separation of church and state is a principle. Number one. Number two, separation of church and state is in the Constitution. It's in the Bill of Rights. It is the underlying single most important principle behind the First Amendment, freedom of conscience. Separation of church and state does not mean that Ron DeSantis can't use the word God when he speaks as a governor. Separation of church and state does not mean that you cannot talk about your faith, that you cannot talk about God in public discussion. Separation of church and state means, and has always meant for centuries, that government has no business dictating your conscience. It's why DeSantis said, we're going to teach truth. We're going to teach facts. Because truth and facts are what's important to a healthy conscience. When schools do not teach truth, when they do not teach fact, when they become propaganda machines, you have a mentally sick conscience. You have a psychologically sick conscience. And part of that psychologically sick conscience believes that our rights come from documents, that our rights come from government, that our rights come from men. So we have to understand these are principles upon which all of American liberty must rest. People like Swalwell are bent on using government power to enslave your mind. Because if their propaganda can become law in your mind, then you will censor yourself You will control yourself and you will be the victim of the worst form of slavery in the universe. The slavery of the mind self-inflicted by the person. Self-inflicted by yourself. Such a violent and terrible slavery, you don't even see the chains that bind you. So yes, I stand with Ron DeSantis. We have an obligation to teach truth to our children. We have an obligation to teach principles to our children. We have an obligation to teach to our children that our rights do not come from government. They do not come from documents. They do not come from men. They come from our Creator by the nature of our creation. They are inalienable. And no man, no document can take them from us. The only way we can be separated from these rights is to be manipulated by propaganda into surrendering them through ignorance, apathy, and dependence upon comfort. Well, this has been a teach show today, and I can't teach you everything in the limited time that we have. So please go to libertyfirstsociety.com. I am very interested in what you've learned from today's teach show. So leave your comments below and help other people understand why this is important. If you found value in this, don't keep it to yourself. Share it. I'm giving it to you at no cost today. So it won't cost you anything to share it. Share this truth in whatever form you can. Speak it. Teach it. Post it. Paste it. Do whatever you can. Don't let the cat and dog conversations on your reels actually dominate the viral community. Let's make truth viral today. And let's prove to Swalwell and those who support what he believes that it's painful to be ignorant and that we don't want to be enslaved by their errant slavish ideologies. Say no to propaganda. Say yes to truth. Thank you so much for joining me today. God bless, and we will see you next time.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights.
We have a power!
And we've raised a spoiled brat representative government that needs to be taken to the woodshed. Are you satisfied with the government that owns you? There are churches who refuse to allow us to use their facilities to teach.
Unspoken or even sometimes spoken rule that religion and politics don't mix. You wouldn't dare speak out against the government or somehow resist.
Christians have to be involved in politics. God commands it.
Every turn of event through history hinged.
One person will stand up.
Upon a single person.
And then everybody else will stand.
A gym member surrounded by a crowd of supporters was placed in handcuffs.
A Tampa Bay pastor has been arrested.
Sentenced to a week in
jail.
She
also tore up a cease and desist letter.
We have a posterity waiting for us to say, we will not come.